It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show as the Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2, a perfect 3-0 homestand for the Vegas Golden Knights. Now 42-20-8, or 92 points on the year. Next in action, Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Minnesota. Three-game road trip upcoming for the Vegas Golden Knights next week. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan? When you look at this one, pretty complete effort top to bottom for the Vegas Golden Knights. What stood out to you about their game today?
Yeah, well, the pace, the excitement of the first period did not continue throughout the whole game. But you certainly had a feeling that these are two of the very best teams in the National Hockey League. Of course, they both have extensive postseason experience and hardware to show for it. And you would, you know, I'm looking very far ahead here, but you'd love to see these teams play a postseason series. It would be so much fun to watch. But yeah, this is, two teams that are still fighting for a division championship. Tampa is trying to fight from behind. Vegas is trying to secure its spot atop the division. But with a dozen games to go, these were teams that looked hungry for those standings points. And the Knights got the better of the Bolts in the first period. They were opportunistic. The special teams favored Vegas for most of this game. Obviously, the Lightning got a garbage time power play goal at 6-on-4. It kind of skews the numbers, but clearly you get your first power play goal, and it's the first goal of the game, and it was the second unit. And Nick Waugh beating Vasilevsky, who, remember, had made some terrific saves in the first 11 minutes, and you're thinking, is this going to be a battle of Vasilevsky and Samsonov? And it turned out that Samsonov was just as good, if not better, than Vasilevsky today. So, this was just a good show between two of the very best teams in the league.
Yeah, Ben Hutton, I mean, you just talked to him, right? The ability for Ben at really various times throughout his Golden Knights career to be able to come in after inactivity for a while and just seamlessly fit right in and not skip a beat, like, It is a skill set unto itself, how he keeps himself so prepared and ready to go whenever his name is called. But I thought it was an excellent game tonight for Ben.
It sure was. I mean, he just fit in. You'd never know that he hadn't played in several months, back to mid-November. And you hear this often said about the role of a backup goalie. You need a backup goalie who is the best teammate. And you think about that because, you know, for much of the NHL's history, you had one goalie who was going to play 65 games. Mm-hmm. Times have changed, but that sentiment remains. If you've got a guy on the roster who is not going to be in the lineup, you need that guy to be an excellent teammate. And Ben Hutton is the epitome of that. You never want to be in a situation where you're not playing for a while from every perspective. But, you know, if it's going to happen, you would certainly hope that that person has the personality and the fortitude to still be a great teammate, not sulk, and still, you know, Ben talked about the guys cheering him on, which is really cool. But he's also one of the guys cheering on everybody else. It takes a special person to handle that with such class and with such enthusiasm. I wish, you know, we do have a monitor so I can see Ben while we're chatting with him. Mm-hmm. I wish you could have seen the smile on his face as we were chatting. It got even bigger somehow when we brought up the Maine Black Bears, by the way. Mm-hmm. But everybody's happy for Ben Hutton. And, you know, we really recognize that this is a job. I mean, you are collecting a paycheck. And, you know, in some of the moments when you are doing that stuff, keeping yourself ready, you recognize that this is a job, and you have to be professional about it, and he has done that with flying colors.
So I want to highlight the penalty kill, and you mentioned it. It's 4 seconds left. Nikita Kucherov gets a power play goal, but coming off of yesterday's game where the Detroit Red Wings went 2-for-2 on the man advantage, I thought the Golden Knights coming into this one were going to need some strong kills, and they got it certainly there in the second period, and that really did propel them to a victory.
Yeah, the penalty kill, and Bruce talked about it on the pregame show today. We discussed it at length more than we normally do because they did give up two against Detroit. Now Detroit's right on their tails in terms of power play percentage. But, yeah, I think that there's – Riley Smith talked about it in our intermission interview as well. Mm. There's just a pride factor that goes with penalty killing. It's not always going to be pretty, and the Knights have had some bad bounces with respect to Alex Pietrangelo last game. It is oftentimes just making the right play. Your goalie has to be the best penalty killer. All of those often repeated phrases apply. But you've got lots of guys who can penalty kill, forwards especially. There's a deep roster here of guys who can do it. So Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for Carlson and Smith to get together on the penalty kill. That's the one thing I'm waiting for. They're both part of it, but they haven't been out there together. Yeah. I would like to see a Carlson-Smith penalty kill duo, if for nothing else, just to see a shorthanded rush.
Bruce Cassidy just spreading the wealth on the penalty kill as best he can. All right, so the Golden Knights 3-0 here on the homestand. It's a three-game road trip. Obviously, the road record has been questioned of late for the Vegas Golden Knights. I guess the you know, super easy, simple to answer question is, how do the Golden Knights take this home success and translate it on the road?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Lightning, similarly on the road, they're now a game under 500, 16, yeah. 17, and 3. Vegas on the road is 15, 13, and 5. So in terms of hockey, 500, they're two games over, but clearly they've walked out of the building winners more rarely than they've walked out losers. I'm not sure if there's something that you could point to. Sometimes you're the victim of the schedule. Remember, they had a difficult start to the year. This is not an excuse, but Western Conference teams and the travel is more difficult than the Eastern Conference. It's harder to go across the country. They haven't had a very favorable routine with respect to their road scheduling. Just look at last weekend. You know, they're playing back-to-back in two different cities, and both games are daytime starts. Plus a time zone change, plus daylight saving time. Again, not an excuse, but you can understand why they did not look good against the Detroit Red Wings last Sunday. So this trip, you know, should be okay. You know, Minnesota, they travel tomorrow. And then they'll have a couple of days in Chicago to acclimate. And, yeah, they got to travel to Nashville after that Friday game against the Blackhawks. But, you know, the start times are a little bit more conventional. It's not quite as condensed. So it's a three-game trip rather than four. It's not quite as far. And I think that there is some momentum to be gleaned from what they've done here at home. I'm not sure if there's one single thing you can point to. Obviously, you've got the long change and the matchups. I'm not sure that that is a major factor. Again, they're not bad on the road. They're just not as good on the road as they are at home.
Well, but they've been remarkable on home ice. It's not always easy to be able to have that record away from T-Mobile Arena as well. Great stuff on the call tonight, as always, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Tuesday.
Very good. Thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 4-2 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2. Vegas, a perfect 3-0 on this three-game homestand. 42-20-8, 92 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Minnesota against the Wild, the first of three on the road for the Vegas Golden Knights. You got the Minnesota Wild, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Nashville Predators. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, kind of the big one coming out of this game is the health of Tomas Hertl. It was a tough play to watch, quite frankly. Hertl on a breakaway gets a shot off. Good save from Andre Vasilevsky. Hertl tracking down that rebound, gets a cross-check push from Emil Liljeberg in the back, goes hard into the end boards, came up favoring his arm, and left the game in the third period. So hopefully when we hear from Bruce Cassidy, we'll get some type of update on Tomas Hertl. I'm not expecting it to be a major update by any stretch, but hopefully it's better than what it initially looked like after the play. Of course, that was a penalty that was under review, reviewed down to a two-minute minor for Liljeberg. Pretty reckless, if you ask me. If you're looking at that play objectively, I don't like that hit. Full stop. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it. That's a vulnerable spot for a player, and I just don't like the hit. So hopefully you look at it, Tomas Hertl is going to be just fine. The other injury news that we're kind of keeping an eye on as we move forward with the Vegas Golden Knights is the availability of Shea Theodore, who has been practicing with the team. Will he be on the upcoming three-game road trip, and might he play for the Vegas Golden Knights on that three-game road trip? That's going to be something that we keep our eye on as well. So hopefully an update soon on Tomáš Hertl from Bruce Cassidy and when we might see Shea Theodore in a game for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll tell you, in terms of this one, third period for me for Vegas was really solid. I loved their game in the third period, specifically their ability to keep Tampa away from second and third opportunities. They did a great job in front of Ilya Samsonov, allowing Samsonov to see pucks when they could. And then if Samsonov made the first save, the Golden Knights, their defense corps, excellent in hunting down those rebounds, getting clears when they needed them. It was a great showing there. Let's hear from Bruce Cassidy as he addresses the media.
Chris Chapman, Fox Sports Las Vegas postgame show. Covered off a back-to-back. You went with Samsonov tonight. He played maybe his best game of the season. Just what were your overall thoughts on the game that he played tonight?
Yeah, he was solid. I thought it was really under control. They're a volume shooting team. I thought we protected against like the odd man rush type of chances for the most part, but there was a lot of stuff coming to the net. They rotate pucks well. They get three high with traffic. So he was able to fight through that and find all the pucks, and then we're able to help him out with the clears and box outs. So good combination of our D doing a good job in front and a great job by him to find pucks and stay with pucks, right? So felt bad for him in the last goal. I mean, they made a pretty play, but at the end of the day, he gets the W. Full value for that, and that's a big positive for our team.
It seemed like Nick Hague's game has changed a little bit. He's added a little more, I would think, meanness to his game. He's a lot more physical lately, and he's adding a little bit of offense as well. Had the goal call back last night against the empty netter tonight. Is that kind of what you envision from Nick Hague as a defenseman?
Well, listen, you see a guy that's 6 foot a lot. So first of all, the long reach, you want a good defender, a guy that will play hard because he can get into people. And then you try to build the rest of his game, puck retrievals, good first pass. Just try to be clean with the puck in this league because there's so many quick guys that get underneath you, right? So when I talk to him, I mean, I had Chara for a long time who's, listen, they're different stages of their career, obviously, when I had him. But, you know, Z had to go through that as a young guy, people, you know, trying to get inside him and pick, you know, those plays on the forecheck. So below the goal line is a tough area when you're trying to retrieve a puck, taking care of the front of the net. And these little quick guys are all around you. So that's the part of the game that there's a little bit of a learning curve for Nick where he's got to sort through and has and will continue to. But the rest of his game in the neutral zone, he sees the ice well up top. Just decide, you know, when to shrink the zone, when to get the shot off quick, when he can dust it off a little bit because he's got a heavy shot. So those are all things you have to learn. And you have to get touches. You know, he's not on the power play, so he doesn't get those kind of easy touches some of the other guys get. But that part of his game is coming along too. So, but we want him first and foremost to be an identity Vegas Golden Knight defenseman. Big, hard, tough to play against, defend well, be clean with the puck. And that's the constant reminders for him. We'll see where it goes from there. So happy for him. He's a great guy, great teammate, easy to coach, loved in the locker room. So, you know, his growth is important to us. And we'll just keep working on it.
Danny, Jesse, Willie.
Hey, Bruce, Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Do you have an update on Hertl, and were you surprised that it was only a two-minute penalty there?
You know, the call is, you know, sometimes is what it is. Like, he'll get reevaluated. He's getting evaluated now and again tomorrow. He was sore when he came off, so we'll see. We'll maybe get good news tomorrow. You know, it just seems like at the time, you know, is it? Listen, the guy's playing, I don't know that well, is a big guy. Trying to establish himself in the league, but that's kind of a senseless hit to me when a situation like that, when a guy's really in a defenseless position and not a threat much, pucks in the corner. So it's unfortunate for us. And hopefully, you know, Hertz is fine. You know, we won't know that right away. He's playing some of his best hockey he's probably played in his career, never mind for the, you know, he's only been with us for, well, it's probably a year now, but, you know, he was hurt when he got here last year. So, but we've got other players in the lineup if he's going to miss time that we'll insert, and hopefully he heals up quick. But we'll know better of that. I'm sure the team will. We're hitting the road. We'll know more once, you know, they get a better look at him.
Jesse.
Jesse Granger with The Athletic. You mentioned the boxing out and clearing out the second chance opportunities for them. What were you most happy with how you guys defended that those rebounds and the middle of the ice right there?
Well, that's it. We did a good job. I mean, we gave up some looks on the kill into the middle. A couple of high pops, and when I say high, it's way out in the top of the circle where they hit some guys in between our coverage. But those are the ones, you know, if the goalie sees most times going to handle. It's the ones in the the hash marks, those quick hitters that they don't have really time to react. They can never control your rebound if you do make the save from that far out. So we try to avoid those. Did for the most part. They've got some dangerous players that are going to make plays. So I like that we're the mindset of our guys to make sure when it got to the net we were going to be hard and heavy. Make them work for the second chances. And that's what I don't remember, a ton of rebound looks. It was one, and then he makes the save. We help him out. He reestablishes position. Now we can play on, right? So that was, they were really in sync, our D and our goaltender. Our forwards had some sort-out issues with the three high at times, so I got to coach that better. But at the end of the day, our D didn't and our goalie didn't, so that was a real positive.
Last field goal, Willie Paul, Allen.
Willie Ramirez with the Hockey News. Bruce, the other day you mentioned about strategizing this particular homestand with your practices. You took Monday off, took Friday off, did a light morning skate Saturday, even though it was an early start. Now that the three-game homestand's over, how do you assess how much you credit toward those days off? Forget about what you practice Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, I think it's both. I mean, we had to work on stuff. You can't just expect to go on the ice, throw your sticks out there. Our guys know how to play, but you're always working on some transition stuff, your break reminders on break tracking, right? Sorting out, your rush reads, because they happen like this if you duplicate. So there's always those little things that when you don't practice for a while, and we didn't much in the road the previous week for obvious reasons, you need to get out there. And we lost some morning skates where players love to get out, move the puck around when there's no that's the fluff, that's dessert, so to speak. And they love that, those practices, because there's no contact. They're kind of three-quarter speed. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, a lot of touches, a lot of offense. But we had to get some meat and potatoes work in. We did. And then you have to rest a little, because you can't, it's just the way the schedule, the demands are, especially this year. So I thought we balanced it well. It looked like in the end, you always think, how are we in the third period? Do we look tired? Are we carrying the play the second half of the game? And I thought all three games we definitely were able to do that. Maybe today late. But even then, I thought we had the better chances a little. You know what I mean? We had chances to extend it. I think, the hurdle break, Jack was in. Dorofeev was in. I thought Barbie had a look. So we had some chances to extend the lead without sacrificing at the other end. So that's the way I looked at it. We were still fresh. And yet we executed much better than we did the previous week.
Hi, Bruce. Paulo Dos Santos, NHL.com. Just a unique situation with two back-to-back teams. How important was it to kind of get that start, knowing that they had traveled and you were at home before a back-to-back?
Yeah, well, they're one of the best first-period teams in the league, too. So we got to be on our toes. And listen, I think both teams knew that they're up against a good opponent. Teams that had won in the past. That's what I mean by that. Every opponent's good in this league, but some championship pedigree, so you better be on your toes or you can get embarrassed in a hurry. And I thought both teams played well. We were just able to finish better in the first period. So good on us. We are at home. They are traveling, so you would expect to have the edge. Doesn't always work that way. We're not the best team in the first 6, 8, 10 minutes, and today we were much better, much better. So good on us. Taking advantage of that, and it obviously forced them to chase the game, probably shorten their bench a little, and that's always advantage to the team with the lead.
Last one, Alan.
What's your early read on Howden being combined with Riley and Carlson, and do you feel like Nick anchoring that fourth line is kind of a natural post for him?
Well, I always feel it's more natural. It's just, we thought, could we build his game more on the wing and then move Howie, right? Like that, I've been talking about that for a bit here, and some of it, injury has not allowed us to do it long enough. Now we're late in the year, so the other day I'm kind of back and forth on it. I do believe he's more natural in the middle. It doesn't mean I have to give him the opportunity to play and see if he can do it, and every time it starts to happen, either I pull the plug or there's an injury, he has to go back in the middle, because I don't want to lose our center depth. I think that's a real important, it's like having three pairs center depth. You know, when you get goaltending, you're strong down the middle of the ice. And right away, you're in every game because of that. You should be able to defend well and then who the pieces fit around. And so that's what's happened with Nick. Carly, Smitty, I don't care that they played together for 4 or 5 years. It's going to take a while to sort of catch up and read off each other again. And they will. And Howie on the other side, who's played with Carly a lot. I like the elements of that line. Right now, I don't think they're shooting the puck enough and getting to the interior in terms of creating offense that way. Got a great goal off the rush the other night, Howie, against Boston. And they've had some looks off the rush. And let's see if we can build that. How can they complement each other as three left sticks in the O zone like eventually Hurdle, Dorofeyev, Saad did as three left sticks? So there's a little bit of, you know, adjustment there. So we'll give them time, hopefully, to sort through that. That's how I see it right now. But they're all really good players, no matter who they end up with. They all play in the special, one of the other special teams, and they're valued guys in terms of matchup. I know that I can rely on them against anybody.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-2 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll take a look at the highlights next in the show. We go all the way back to the first period and stress the importance of special teams in the game. The Golden Knights took advantage of their second power play opportunity as William Carlson fed Nick Waugh to open the scoring.
Petrangelo left for Carlson. To the left dot, cruising right in, centered, and they stopped it! Now they score!
Eleventh goal of the year for Nick Waugh on the power play from William Carlson and Alex Petrangelo. 11:02 of the first period made it 1-0 Vegas, and the Golden Knights extended the lead just over 2 minutes later when Tomas Hertl delayed in the zone before ripping a shot by Andre Vasilevsky.
Tomas Hertl gets the puck in the slot, drifts and shoots. He scores!
Thirty-first of the year for Tomas Hertl from Riley Smith at 13:33 of the first period made it 2-0 Vegas, and the Golden Knights capped off a three-goal period with a laser beam one-timer from Jack Eichel.
Vasilevsky rims it far, boards not out. White cloud left. Eichel scores! One-timer, Jack Eichel. 3-0 Golden Knights. Oh, it exploded off the stick from the left circle.
23rd goal of the year for Jack Eichel from Zach Whitecloud, 19:13 of the first period, made it 3-0 Vegas. The Golden Knights would take that three-goal lead in the second period, and the Lightning got on the board late in the second when Nick Paul scored on a 2-on-1.
New line coming on, but it's a 2-on-1 now for the Bolts. Hague is back, and a shot, score! Nick Paul from the right wing. But Nick Paul delivers his 21st goal, a lefty wrist shot from the right wing circle.
Nick Paul, his 21st of the year from Gage Gonsalves and Darren Radish. 17:38 of the second period made it 3-1 Vegas, but the Golden Knights would take a two-goal lead now into the third period, and late in the period, Nick Hague iced the game with an empty net goal.
Face-off win for the Knights. Sent through center. It goes into the goal! Vegas has a 4-1 lead with 2:42 to go in the third period.
Fifth goal of the year for Nick Hague, an empty netter from Alex Petrangelo and Brett Howden. 17:18 of that third period made it 4-1 Vegas, but the Lightning would make the final score a little bit closer with a late-minute power play goal from Nikita Kucherov.
Kucherov, seam pass, tipped to the left. Now Hedman, another pass, score! Kucherov from the right goal line with 1:09 to go. A lot of perimeter passing, and it's a power play goal for Tampa Bay.
Nikita Kucherov, his 30th of the year from Victor Hedman and Brandon Hagel on the power play at 19:55. The third period made it 4-2 Vegas, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Faceoff win, Gore just pokes it back. Time will now run out, and this game is over. Knights top the Bolts 4-2. Three straight wins for the Golden Knights.
There you have it, 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning, improve to 42-20-8 for 92 points and top spot in the Pacific Division. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Join your fellow VGK fans at the next official watch party on Tuesday, March 25th at Durango Resort and Casino. Enjoy food and drink specials plus VGK giveaways and prizes as the Golden Knights face Minnesota. That's Tuesday at 5 p.m. at Durango Resort and Casino. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2. Vegas 42-20 and 8, 92 points on the year. You look at, just really quick here, the standings in the Pacific Division. It's something we're going to go to pretty much after every game down the stretch here. The Golden Knights, 92 points, top spot in the division. The Edmonton Oilers right behind them, 87 points, so 5-point cushion for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Edmonton Oilers. And it looks like the Los Angeles Kings are going to hold on to beat the Boston Bruins. It's 7-2 LA with 3.5 minutes left in that game. So LA currently at 85 points with a victory against Boston today will jump up to 87 points. So again, Edmonton, LA would be tied with 87 points, 5 points back of the Vegas Golden Knights, LA with a game in hand on Vegas. That's the outlook right now with 12 games remaining for the Vegas Golden Knights in terms of their standings in the Pacific Division. That'll do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show. For the station staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Vegas 42-20 and 8, 92 points on the year, still in that top spot in the Pacific Division. A 5-point lead right now over the Edmonton Oilers. And when the Kings game goes final, it will be a 5-point lead over Los Angeles as well. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. A lot of different directions we can go in tonight as it pertains to the Vegas Golden Knights. Perfect 3-0 on this three-game homestand, averaging 5 goals a game. Offensively, just a really solid three-game stretch for the Vegas Golden Knights. We can talk about Tomas Hertl, the injury to Tomas Hertl that he sustained in the third period, the hit from Emil Liljeberg. We can talk about that if you are sour, if you are salty about it. Feel free, dial up the number. Let's have a conversation about that. And then expectations, right? There's 12 games remaining for the Vegas Golden Knights in the regular season. This team has a 5-point lead over Edmonton and LA for the top spot in the Pacific Division. I'm interested to see what you're expecting over the final 12 games for the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, it's the game of contrast, to be sure, Ryan. Obviously, we're just as happy as we can be about the win against a really, really good team. I hope people realize that we beat a two-time Stanley Cup champion of the last 5 years. And really, it should have been a rematch of the 2021 Stanley Cup, if it wasn't for Montreal that year. But neither here nor there, it was a great win, and it was fun to watch Mark Stone leave the ice with his hand held high and a big smile on his face. That's hockey for sure. And we don't know about Tomas Hertl. It's too early to tell, but we pray and pray and pray that things are going to work out. So having said all that, we go on the road now, and obviously there's three games against two non-playoff teams and one that we may be facing in another month. Mm-hmm. I'm going to predict 4 points for the Knights on that trip. I was wrong on the last one. Might as well put myself out there again and predict that there will be 4 points. Do you think that there should have been more than a minor on that penalty that was by Lilleberth?
I think it should have been a major, yeah.
It's hard not to think that it won't be.
I mean it wasn't obviously called a major. They downgraded it to a minor. It was a senseless hit in my estimation. I agree with Bruce Cassidy's assessment of it. Just no need for it. And, you know, I mean, you can kind of quibble as to whether or not there was intent or not, or if it was violent enough or not violent enough. To me, there's no need for it. It clearly injures the player. It should have been a major, but it is what it is.
Well, like I say, what are you going to do about it now anyway? But the point is, we pray hard for Tomas. This is an interesting goalie situation being set up. Samsonov just played his tail off tonight. I don't think people realize that he had a 971 save percentage if you don't count that fluke at the end of the game. And as we go into the final few games of the season, they will pass the puck back and forth and pass the net back and forth. But could they do that in postseason? That's probably a question.
No, Mike. And thanks for the call. You're going into the postseason with one guy. Aiden Hill won you a Stanley Cup. So as great as this game was for Ilya Samsonov, and it was great, he was awesome. What you're looking for over the final 12 games is the right split to make sure that Aiden Hill is fresh and healthy and ready to go come playoff time. You're not going to go with a rotation in the postseason. I don't see that as an avenue. I don't see that as something you do. It's not to say you won't use two goaltenders. Like, there might be scenarios where, you know, you saw it for the Golden Knights. Laurent Brossoit started the playoffs for Vegas the year that they won the Stanley Cup, and then Aiden Hill came in due to an injury. So the point remains that it's not to rule out you're not going to have two goaltenders play. But I would be hard-pressed, if health is not an issue, to think of a reason why the Golden Knights would go to a rotation in the postseason. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Love to hear from you tonight as the Golden Knights finish off a perfect homestand, 3-0, over the last three games. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, how we doing tonight, brother?
I'm good.
Yeah, I am too. Pretty impressive homestand from the boys, which, you know, we're starting to come to expect this season. One of the best home teams in hockey. They're still sitting at just 10 total losses at home, which is really, really refreshing to see as a fan. I was curious if it's something that you notice, or whether or not it's something that, you know, our friend group gets in on the conversation on. Are we continuing to see Vegas more often than not play to the level of their opponents? You see Samsonov come in and play an outstanding game against a scary offensive team. You have Boston and Detroit, whose place in the standings are not good, but they're still fighting for a playoff spot. And you find a way to just take control of both games and shut them down, you know. And then you look back on the road trip and you see three regrettable endings. Is that something you notice as well?
I don't think that it's as prevalent as some might think. Just when you kind of look at the fact that the Golden Knights still only like 20 regulation losses this year, like, they've done a lot of winning, 42 wins. I don't know that it's always a scenario where they're playing to the level up or down of their competition. What I do think is, when you look at that road trip for the Golden Knights, there were reasons as to why I feel like they were flat against Detroit. Obviously in Buffalo, it wasn't their best game. But again, that's a game that you should lock down, especially with a lead late like they had. So I think more there were extenuating circumstances surrounding why they didn't play to their level on the road. They got some rest, and I don't think that can be overlooked here. Like, it's easy to kind of look at games as just these linear things that happen one after another, but that's not the case. Vegas got back from that trip, had 3 days between games. They were able to get some rest. They were able to dial in some practice time, and I think that's more the reason why they played well over the last three games and looked different than playing necessarily to the level of the competition that's in front of them.
Sure. And just one other question while I've got you.
Yeah.
Are we seeing an unlocked version of Brandon Saad I don't know where this guy's finding this puck handling. The guy looks, he's playing like somebody who's 10 years younger than he is.
Yeah, I think that you've got an invigorated Brandon Saad. You've got a Brandon Saad that's in the lineup night in and night out for a team that's challenging for a division title and a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. And I think that he's found something with Hurdle and Dorofeev. There's, you know, you need players that complement each other on a line. And I think what Saad brings to the table is just a little bit more speed. He's first on pucks in the offensive zone. I think that opens things up for Hurdle and Dorofeev to work down low because they're winning those pucks back. And then there's also an element of a rush game with that line because of the speed that Saad brings to the table. Sometimes when you put players together, it just clicks, and it certainly has for Brandon Saad.
All right, well, last one, since you're going to let me sneak one more question here.
Sure.
So Buffalo has been out of this season for at least a couple of weeks now. The writing is on the wall that they will not be joining the postseason.
Yep.
Yet this team finds a way to hang in against Vegas and steal a point. They go into Winnipeg tonight and win in regulation. They went into Edmonton last week and won in regulation. Where is this team finding the heart to steal these points from incredible teams?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ryan, and thanks for the call. It's pride. Frankly, like, there are reasons why the Buffalo Sabres wanted to have a good game against the Vegas Golden Knights. We all know what they are. When you have a tough season, when you're going to miss the postseason for 14 years, when you've got players that are still in that room and in that mix, and you made some trades, moving out Dylan Cousins, bringing in Josh Norris, though Norris is hurt right now, you are not just playing for this season, you're playing for next year. You're playing for your spot on the roster. You're playing for a lot of other things beyond just the everyday wins and losses. And it shows you that the difference between the top of the line high end teams, the Winnipeg Jets of the world that have been, you know, wire to wire top spot in the Western Conference all season, and, you know, the Buffalo Sabres, who are just having a really tough year, there's not a lot that separates the great elite teams from the other teams in this league, except for consistency and that buy-in every single time they play. And I think that, you know, it's good to kind of highlight that it's not just Vegas that finds themselves on the wrong side of some of those games. It can happen to Winnipeg, it can happen to Edmonton, it can happen to really good teams. That's the beauty of the National Hockey League. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So it was really good to see just a very strong homestand after kind of floundering at the end of the road trip. Only thing you could wish for is Tomas Hurdle not getting boarded there. Like, it really looked unfortunate. Just really hoping for the best for him.
Yeah, the update from Cassidy wasn't necessarily too much of an update, which makes sense,
yeah.
Right? He's getting evaluated today. He'll be evaluated again tomorrow, sore coming off the ice. So, you know, they're kind of hoping, right, at this moment, hoping for good news as early as tomorrow. But, yeah, we'll kind of keep an eye on it and see how things progress and whether or not we get a more concrete update on Tomas Hurdle in the next day or two.
Yeah, good to see Huttenbeck in the lineup.
Yeah.
I believe he was, I heard him mentioned when Hake got the empty net goal out there during that. I think it was. I don't know. I'm a little out of it. Sorry. It was just good to see him getting back in the lineup, and, you know, didn't seem like he was struggling. It seemed like he was able to fit right back in. So it's good to know that the players that we have, you know, in case somebody is injured to come in, are ready for that.
Yeah, you're right on the money as far as Ben Hutton goes. Didn't look like he hadn't played in 50 games at all. Like, and that is not the first time we've seen that from Ben Hutton. You go back to a couple of years ago, there was a moment where he had to come in a game late in the season against the Edmonton Oilers, played a whale of a game, just phenomenal stuff. And it speaks to, and thanks, Stephanie, for the call, it speaks to the professionalism of Ben Hutton. Every single player wants to play. You know this. You understand this. When you get to this level, if you get to this level, you're so incredibly competitive. You want to play every single game. And understanding how deep this team is, especially on the blue line, you have to wait and you have to buy your time. And the fact of the matter is Ben Hutton's a phenomenal teammate. And because he's a great teammate, because he's a leader and he leads in different ways, he shows up to work every day. He puts in the work. He's good around his teammates. And I don't know that there's anybody maybe more happy for Ben Hutton that he got to play today than the rest of his teammates. And he had another strong performance. He's a really good hockey player. Would be in the top six of many other teams in the National Hockey League. And I'm with you, Stephanie. I think it was great to see Ben Hutton back in the lineup for the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. If you are listening to the show, I'd love to hear from you. If you're at the game today, I'd love to hear from you as well. Pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Vegas 42, 20, and 8, 92 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Minnesota against the Wild. You got the Wild on Tuesday, and then Chicago on Friday, Nashville on Saturday. Another back-to-back upcoming for the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. Ben Hutton appreciation. By all means, call in. Your thoughts on the Tomas Hertl hit. Call in. 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. First of all, I want to talk about a different point. Olofsson, mm-hmm. in for Pearson, I think he brings a whole lot more of a well-rounded game, and I think he'll be better for us in the playoffs. That is to say, if they're down to that one spot. So I'd like your thoughts on that. In terms of the hit, you know, as much as I, you know, would think it would and wanted to say it was dirty, I don't think it was. But it looked an awful lot like the Jack Hughes hit, right? And so, you know, I think everybody's holding their breath at this point. And then lastly, I think, I think both goaltenders, it's important that they are, you know, they sort of ease into the playoffs. Obviously, playoffs got to stay in first place, but nevertheless, ease into it. And they're both coming around to top form. So I'd like your thoughts on all of those.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for the call. As far as Olofsson goes, I thought it was a pretty strong game for Victor Olofsson. Now, obviously, in terms of production, it hasn't been there for Victor Olofsson of late. However, I'm looking at more of the complete 200-foot game, and what I like about Olofsson is he really competes hard in his own zone and in the neutral zone. I thought he had a lot of jump in this game today. Now, we'll see kind of how things transpire over the course of the final 12 games, how many you're going to see with Victor Olofsson, how many you're going to see with Tanner Pearson, and obviously Tomas Hertl, his health moving forward will kind of indicate that as well. But I like Victor Olofsson's game. I think he's really poised on the power play also. One of the most poised power play players I've ever watched. He just seems to know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it on the man advantage. But, you know, we'll see. Tanner Pearson brings something a little bit different. He's really good along the walls. And Tanner Pearson has a little bit more of that grit and jam that you need in the postseason. And Tanner Pearson's won a Stanley Cup. So we'll kind of see how that plays out over the course of the final 12 games. As far as the hit on Tomas Hertl, I think it was pretty senseless and reckless. And it's a dangerous hit at that area of the ice. I don't know that, you know, comparing it to the Hughes one is a fair comparison, mainly because there wasn't a hit there from Jack Eichel to Jack Hughes. It was more two players getting caught and tangled in one another, whereas this from Lilleberg is an actual push, an actual cross-check, an actual boarding. But that's just kind of my general thought on it. And then the last one that I'll note here as far as goaltenders, I said it to Mike when he called in earlier. yes, both goalies have been playing really well. Aiden Hill since Four Nations has been incredible. But when you get to the playoffs, I'm not expecting it to be a rotation for the Golden Knights. I really don't expect it to go that direction. It's not to say you can't see both goalies in the postseason, but I don't think it's going to be a one game in, one game out, or every two games, or whatever the case may be. I don't see a rotation in the postseason. That's just me. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Vegas 42-20-8, 92 points on the year, top spot in the Pacific Division, 5 points up on the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings. And next in action Tuesday, 5 o'clock in Minnesota against the Wild. A potential look at a first-round matchup for the Vegas Golden Knights and an opportunity to take the 3-0 homestand and all the good that comes out of that onto the road for the next three for the Vegas Golden Knights. It's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. Thanks to you, our listeners, our callers, our texters. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Tuesday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.